Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, would you inform a relative that their house is haunted? One gutsy grandmother did just that. Two children tried to enter a listener's home during a snowstorm, but she knows better than to let these kids in. A little girl's disturbing nightmares are identical to an actual event that she couldn't possibly know about. And a listener cannot explain the flashes of light she saw in the middle of the night. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to the stories. Is this a black-eyed children story?
Yeah.
With the children that are trying to get in during the snowstorm?
It is.
Hate when that shit happens. It happens every single snowstorm. You got those children that show up. I'm looking forward to that. It'd be a creepy one. Our phone number is 855-853-4802. If you want to share your real ghost story with us, of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or even email your audio file to me. If you want to record it on your device, send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways of getting your story to us. I had an interesting story today on the Dream Meanings podcast, which you can subscribe to on all the platforms. It's just called Dream Meanings. The website is dreamingradio.com. And it was along the lines of paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I would share it here on this show, or at least a gist of it. If you want to hear the full thing, it's on an episode that's going to be coming up pretty soon. And they'll be on the episode called Past Life. And hence, that's what this is about. Mom has a dream that the child is saying something of something to the effect of I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. Something to the effect of if we're too noisy, they'll hurt us or something of that nature. This is in her dream. Mm-hmm. She wakes up kind of disturbed, like, well, that was weird. And then goes and checks on her child in the other room just to make sure they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Child's having a nightmare, wakes up. First thing the child says is, if we're too noisy, they'll hurt us, or something along those lines. Exactly what she just had in her own dream.
Ooh.
The child is pretty young,
mm-hmm.
Like 1.5, 2.5, that area. Then the child says, like, what's wrong, honey? What did you dream about? Well, I was in this place with my other mommy, and she was telling me that if we're too noisy, they'll hurt us. Then the next day, they're out Christmas shopping, and they see the Star of David on something in one of the Hanukkah mm-hmm. displays. And she goes, that's the thing that they made us wear on our armbands in me and my other mommy in my dream.
Oh, my gosh.
So the child is essentially recalling the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And being in like a concentration camp or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. And
or hiding.
Or hiding. Yeah. And it was, she's like, this is one of the, said this is one of the weirdest experiences she's ever had. Just creepy, mm-hmm. And bizarre. And I had two possibilities that I presented for what may be going on here. You know, it could be the past life thing, or this, the thing that I think that gets overlooked quite often that I didn't really even think about till we started doing this show was is there something giving him the child this memory, giving them this experience and wanting it to be shared?
Yeah.
And not that the child had the past life, but something is giving them this information, mm-hmm. to come out. Anyway, it was a good letter, good story, weird dream, mm-hmm. But tying into reality. Don't have a whole lot of paranormal on that show, but I thought that one really just was interesting.
Right.
And very compelling. So Past Life is that episode of Dream Meanings, if you want to hear that. There's a couple other, somewhat paranormal ones on there this week. It fits. We're getting into Halloween, so mm-hmm. that all just kind of comes up, but creepy stuff. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Jessica writes in, hi guys, my name is Jessica. I'm from Cold Lake, Alberta. The story I want to tell you about starts back in about 2011. My boyfriend and I bought our first home as I was pregnant and wanted our own place to start out our family. The house was built back in the 1950s and was a bungalow-style home with one bathroom and three bedrooms. Sometime in the 1980s, the house had been lifted and a basement was added, which had two additional bedrooms, an ensuite bathroom and a living room. While in the house alone, or even alone on a level of the house, I occasionally had the feeling of being watched. It didn't feel malicious or even friendly. It was just there. Nothing much ever happened, but I can always remember feeling anxious and panicked while showering in the upstairs bathroom. I'd constantly peer around the curtain to make sure the bathroom door was still closed, as it felt like someone had entered the room. I eventually put up a curtain with a clear strip in the top just to make it easier to look out. Fast forward about a year, I usually worked night shift. However, I was off and having trouble sleeping. My son and boyfriend were both in bed. It was about 3 a.m., and I was in the living room watching TV. The couch I was sitting on kind of separated the room into two, and my son's play area was behind the couch. While sitting and watching TV, I got an overwhelming feeling of being watched. I looked down the hallways to the bedrooms, but the doors were still closed, and I had left them. Suddenly, from behind the couch, I heard my son's Elmo doll say, "Come play with me." This was one of the sayings that the doll said. However, there were no batteries in it. The batteries had died, and while attempting to charge them earlier that day, I realized I didn't have any new ones. This thoroughly creeped me out, but without even thinking, I calmly responded with, "No, thank you." The feeling of being watched eventually faded off, and I went to bed soon after. Later that year, we were sitting around with family, chit-chatting and discussing random topics. One topic that came up was ghost stories and haunted houses. My now husband's grandmother stated that we had a ghost in our house, which was completely shocking, as I'd never shared my experiences or feelings in that house with anyone. She said that earlier in the summer, while preparing for our wedding and the guests that would be staying with us, my then-fiancé's grandmother, whom we call Nana, was over helping clean our house. My fiancé and I were both at work and my son was at daycare, so no one else was home but Nana. She was cleaning the floors downstairs in one of the basement spare rooms. She was kneeling in the corner with a pail and soapy water when she suddenly felt someone standing behind her. She said it didn't feel like a good presence. Aloud, she said, "You can't be in here with me." The feeling of being watched went away, and she rushed through what she was doing and stayed upstairs until I got home later that day. I now live in a different home and can thankfully say that I don't have the same experiences. I still get the feeling of being watched every so often, but it feels like it's someone completely different. My guess is it might be Nana, who passed away this spring, just stopping to check in and make sure we're all okay. Love the show. I'm a new listener, but I'm definitely hooked and will be telling my friends about your podcast. Thanks for the spooky stories and laughs.
I like that the sensitive grandmother told them that their house was haunted.
Yeah.
You know, since they kind of suspected anyway.
Mm-hmm. I think that's how everyone should be. Just blunt about it. I mean, why not?
Well,
just to be kind.
No, I mean, if you're sensitive and you know somebody's house is haunted, but yeah, they are not sensitive and they're not having any problems at all, why open that can of worms for them?
Yeah, if they're completely not picking up on it.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. I understand that. But if they're actively asking for it, not like you're deserving this. I mean, like asking for your advice.
Sure.
Or asking for your input. I wouldn't sugarcoat that. Like, no, it's not haunt. You know, I'd be like, no, here's just based on what I would feel or if I had anything, mm-hmm. I wouldn't like add, like go into it. Like maybe it's like Amityville or, you know,
No,
I would just be like, you know, here's yes, I agree. And here's why.
Sure.
Based on my evidence, I wouldn't play it up. But I also wouldn't play it down either if I had, you know, no reason to.
If they're already saying they kind of get weird vibes, yeah. Then yeah, I'm going to chime in. But if they don't have a clue, I'm not just going to be like at the next barbecue, hey, guess what? Your house is so haunted.
What you really do is if you really want to be an asshole, you'd be like, yeah, I think it's haunted too. I just kind of get some weird vibes. You know, my friend's house was haunted and all of her pets started dying. You know, you could go horrible with that, yeah. Where it's like a friend of a friend had this happen to sure. their friend. And it just, it slowly escalates. It's like the 7 degrees of Amityville. And eventually it goes back there somehow.
Okay. 7 degrees of Amityville.
Exactly.
Okay.
And somehow what's that actor's name? He gets tied into it as well. Is it Kevin Bacon? Was he the one that the
7 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Was that the thing that was a deal back in the
game? Yeah.
On like the 90s. Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. You're at Real Ghost Stories Online. Lindsay writes in, hi there, Tony and Jenny. My name's Lindsay. I've called in a couple of times before, even sharing my Lizzie Borden picture. My most recent experience is so chilling, I felt the need to put it in writing. Just a few nights ago, I had one of the most terrifying experiences of my life. To set the scene, I was in my bedroom at around midnight studying for finals. There was a brittle snowstorm outside. It was the first snow of the season in New England. It was coming down hard. I decided to take a break from studying and head downstairs for a late-night snack. As I walked down the stairs, an inexplainable feeling of dread overwhelmed me, as if something was about to go very sour. I chalked this up to my childish fear of the dark. When I got closer to the last few steps, which are right in front of my front door, I felt as if someone or something was standing just outside. I didn't see anything through the small windows surrounding the door, so I took a deep breath and muttered, "You're scaring yourself," aloud, and walked into the kitchen. I fumbled around in the refrigerator and pantry, quickly trying to find a snack. Just wanted to be back upstairs in the safety of my bedroom. I was deciding what I was hungry for when I heard a knock at the front door. My heart sank into my gut. I live in a small country town with windy back roads. No one ever comes to the door. The exception is the weather. With snow like this, it isn't uncommon for car accidents to occur. I assumed it was someone who really needed help, considering it was so late at night. As a precaution, I grabbed a kitchen knife out of the drawer and slid it into the back pocket of my jeans, hiding the handle underneath my t-shirt. As I walked through the hall towards the door, I realized the porch light was on. It wasn't on just 5 minutes before when I came downstairs. I have chills just thinking about it. At this point, I'm scared, I have goosebumps, and I have no idea what's going to happen next. As I get closer to the door, I see two children standing outside. They both have their heads down and are dressed relatively inappropriately for the weather. They're wearing baggy, almost dingy sweatshirts and jeans. I felt sick. The taller one knocked on the door again, and it wasn't until she spoke that I realized it was a girl. The taller girl had to be about 16 years old, with the smaller one about 7. With their heads bowed, she said, "May we use your phone?" It didn't sound like a teenager should. It sounded scripted and overly confident. I stopped dead in my tracks. "Miss, it'll only take a minute." And I was in complete shock. All I could do was stand there, stare at the door. I held my breath, terrified to even breathe. "Our mother will be worried. May we use your phone?" she repeated. I wanted to scream. I wanted to run. I wanted to be dreaming so I could wake up. I tried to speak out, but all that came out was a strange sigh, kind of like, The two kids looked up the second I spoke. This initially scared me because I was not close enough as to where they could hear me through the door. The worst part was their eyes. I shit you not, when they looked up, they had big black voids where their eyes belonged. When I saw this, I knew exactly what they were. These were the black-eyed kids. I screamed and ran back up the stairs, having to cross in front of the door. I could hear the kids pounding their fists in the door, and they yelled, "Let us in. We need to come in now." I ran into my room and slammed the door behind me, barricaded myself inside with every heavy object I could find, and I was hysterically sobbing. With every breath I struggled to breathe, the pounding at the door seemed too quiet. Eventually, it stopped completely. Needless to say, I didn't sleep that night. I haven't slept that much at all since that night. When I told my parents the next morning, they said I must have been dreaming, and my boyfriend teases me. But I know what I saw, and if I was dreaming, why was my door barricaded when I woke up in the morning? All I can say is that I'll never be the same. It may take me a while to build up the courage to dive back into the paranormal, but I'm an EPP, so I'm positive I'll be back. Thank you so much, Brewskis, for giving me an outlet to share my experience. Maybe now I'll be able to get some sleep. Keep it creepy, Lindsay.
I hate the black-eyed children stories. I mean, they're good stories, but mm-hmm. that's just like, you know, part of me is like the mother in me wants to help kids, but if they've got black eyes, I think I'd still have a hard time not letting them in.
Really?
Just because I'm like... Because
that's normal.
There's kids in the snowstorm. I would have to process it a little bit.
What if they had horns?
No.
Black eyes, completely black pupils, you're cool with.
Well, it just
depends. But the horns.
No, I'm not cool with it. I'm not cool with it. But you know how it is when you're a parent. It's like any kid in need of help, you want to help them.
I agree. And I would feel that way till I saw their eyes.
Yeah, I know.
And I would at least ask, I'd at least have to question this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a fair question for a stranger showing up on your doorstep. If you're like at the mall and you see some child that just completely black eyes. And when we're saying black eyes, we're meaning the pupils, not like they got hit.
Like no whites.
Yeah.
No whites in their eyes at all.
Not like a punch injury. We're talking, there's no whites. I wouldn't approach because I think there's some sort of medical condition or something going on. And
yeah.
It'd be really rude for the person to walk up, you know, outside of the Hot Topic going, what the hell's wrong with your kids? That would be rude. But if they're on my doorstep asking to use a phone, I think it's fair game. I think it's fair. What happened to your eyes? Are you okay? More so out of concern, thinking like some sort of effect of the frostbite or what?
Yeah.
And see what the answer is. But if they're evil, they'll probably give you some sort of, cunning.
If they're evil, they'll probably just do something to you just because you spoke to them.
That's true. You're not supposed to speak to the black-eyed children at all, are you?
Uh-uh.
It's just shut the door.
Yeah. You're not supposed to even open the door.
Well, then she got off easy there.
She did.
Yeah. Wonder how often black-eyed children show up on the Ring doorbells.
I don't know.
Where it can like record what's going on at like, look who's at the door earlier. Oh my God, it's a pack of black-eyed children.
Uh-huh.
That would be great.
No, it wouldn't.
We have received pictures from people on their Ring doorbells. Or whatever their door, but I think beyond that brand of weird things, faces and things of that nature showing up when it's detecting movement. It's just neat. I think with all the technology and all the video, where everybody's videoing everything now and taking pictures of everything everywhere, I think we're going to have a whole new influx of images and video evidence that otherwise we wouldn't have had, in the past. Sarah writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I want to share a neat story with you. It's about two experiences I had after dabbling, and I'm going to screw up this word. What is this?
Divination.
Divination. What is divination?
Not real sure.
I don't know if it works for your show, but I want to share it with you anyway, and I've never had anything like this happen before. During an interview with Janet Boyer about divinations on other podcasts, Janet was talking about the concept of charming divination, and it really struck for some reason. Okay, I got to find out what divination is.
Okay.
Let's define it. The practice of seeking knowledge of the future or the unknown by supernatural means.
Ah.
Okay. So kind of Michael J. Foxing it a little bit. Let's see here.
What?
Back to the Future.
That wasn't paranormal, though.
He was going, it was a DeLorean. DeLorean divination is what it was.
No. No, not even right.
That's Delora Vinination.
No.
That's how that would be said. It really struck me for some reason. Now, I must say, I know you hear this all the time. I'm a definite skeptic, and this is why I found these events particularly compelling. I really appreciated the emphasis on the fact that divination isn't fortune telling. It's for analyzing your current path in order to make course corrections. This sounded very rational to me, something that could be a valuable tool. My mind immediately pictured items I've had for years that I'd be inclined to use as charms if I were to create my own divination. So, completely out of character, I set about collecting these pieces and wrote out an index of meanings for these charms. When I finished, I cast my first divination right away. Surprisingly to me, it was completely accurate to my current situation. There was one part of it that pointed to my personal interests and hobbies and indicated that they were being neglected. My mind immediately went to something that's nagged me for the last 3 years since I moved into my new home. I had created several very labor-intensive jewelry pieces that I could not locate for the life of me after the move. Trust me, I'd searched everywhere. The fact that I couldn't find them plagued me. Every few months, I'd get the bug to research the house top to bottom with no luck. Immediately after the divination, I had the desperate urge to go down to the basement storage room, search for these pieces, scour the usual places, old dressers, boxes that remained unpacked, all the places I'd searched before. Again, out of luck, I went back upstairs. But something nagged me, kept nagging, until 5 minutes later. I was compelled to go back into that room and search again. So again, I searched it thoroughly, nothing. Feeling deflated, I was about to admit defeat once again, but as I turned to leave, my eye landed on a jewelry box that I had stored in there, as I didn't have a place for it upstairs. I scoffed at myself for thinking that they could be in it. This is obviously the first place I'd always checked in the past because it just made sense to store them there. I checked anyway, and lo and behold, every one of my treasured pieces was in it. All of a sudden, including ones I'd forgotten about. I can swear that I've checked that jewelry box several times over the years. Still can't believe it. Needless to say, this sparked my interest in making jewelry again, and I've already created several new beautiful pieces because of this positive experience with the first divination. I couldn't wait to do another. About a week later, I was feeling quite anxious about several upcoming events, and despite questioning myself whether performing a divination while feeling really emotional is a good idea, I went ahead and cast one. Again, it was extremely accurate. It pointed towards the areas that I was feeling anxious and emotional about and indicated the areas where I should be directing my attention. It did feel cathartic, and afterwards, I felt a bit relieved. Once I gathered and put away my charms, I grasped my water glass to go refill it. It was late in the evening, and I was entering the hallway. It was very dark. As I walked towards the kitchen in the dark, I suddenly heard what sounded like glass being cut. A very distinctive creak, like a slow crack winding through the body of ice. I rushed into the kitchen, turned on the light, and the glass I was holding had a huge crack run through it. It was the most bizarre thing. The sound of the crack slowly winding through the glass I was holding in my hand. So I'm left wondering if performing the divination in that state allowed for some of the negative emotional energy able to leave me and physically channel it into an inanimate object as a positive release, or did it cause a negative physical phenomena? I guess it's a question for an expert. Thanks for taking the time to read my story. I'm a huge fan. Take care and best wishes to you, Sarah.
Obviously, since I didn't really understand what divination was, I don't know what it is capable of doing paranormally,
mm-hmm.
as far as bringing things in or energies or any of that. But if you're starting to see activity after doing that, I would think there's some kind of correlation.
I would think that there's something there. I think it's one of those things, and because I am an expert on this topic.
You are not. You just Googled it.
A Wikipedia expert.
Okay.
Wikipedia. What? I don't know much about it, but I would say that anything of the sorts where you're able to get answers from the other side at really anything can be used for good, can be used for bad, and I think you can get interference as well. Mm-hmm. That's how I would put it in a very simplistic way. So I don't think you always know exactly what you're getting or how you're getting it.
No.
And that's what needs to be of some concern there. Thanks for the story and sharing the experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You know, it's funny, like, remember when like that wicka-wicka something was like a big thing?
Yeah.
I think that was like for music videos around like the turn of the century.
Okay.
Which would not be 17 years ago.
Yeah.
It's just funny to think of that. There's like a whole generation of people who are like, oh, that's so old. That's so, you know, it's like, it seems to me like yesterday. Chrissy writes in, hey guys, over the summer, I recently got in touch with a distant friend. We were neighbors and went to school with each other. She's older than me by a few years. And right after high school, she ended up getting married to a man who was in the Marines. And she ended up moving out of state. Years later, she came over to attend a funeral and got back in touch with me. We exchanged emails, but it was back during dial-up, so we didn't talk too much. But she often sent photos after she had her first child. It wasn't until recently when we used Skype. She now has 3 kids. I never met them, so it was nice to see them move around and talk by the computer. Her youngest girl, Vanessa, is the reason I'm writing this story. Right now, she just started 2nd grade, but this happened over the summer. She was having some strange nightmares, and it was upsetting her parents because she was constantly waking up in the middle of the night. And a few times, she had bedwetting problems. She told me about it, and I told her it would be a good idea if she took her to a professional, mainly because I recall hearing that children who have constant nightmares stem from things like abuse or a traumatic event. They found out she was having nightmares about a plane crash. I was sort of relieved because she was also telling me that her daughter never went on a plane before, so we thought she saw a movie that may have scared her, or saw videos of 9/11, something along those lines. I was just trying to reassure her that maybe it's just a phase. The strange problem was, her stories were far too detailed and nothing like any movies or stories we could think of. Her dad thought they may have seen the movie La Bamba because it was the closest story he could think of, but her story was different. It was hard to tell exactly because she didn't know how to describe the name of the planes, but it was a collision in the air. They had her look at pictures of planes, and she picked one that was a commercial airliner, and she told them that it struck a small plane and it blew up. It took long for her to explain things. She'd cry often just trying to explain it, but she mentioned a school and houses on fire. Later on, she mentioned cars being hit and people on the ground, and decided to write things down and ask some friends if it was from any possible movie they heard of. It wasn't until I had a friend take a look at my car. I was always told if my car makes any strange noises to have it looked at before it gets worse. When I asked him about the story, he told me it sounded like a plane crash had happened where he lived a long time ago. He was more focused on the car, but told me to look up a plane crash that happened in California. I found it right away on my phone. It was a crash in 1986, and everything she talked about was identical. The story was about a jetliner that struck a small single-engine plane, and the wreckage landed on a school and neighborhood. As soon as I got home, I told my friend about it, and there's no possible way her daughter could have stumbled upon the story, especially since they live in Georgia. My friend was shocked after reading how identical the story was and told her husband. Eventually, after asking Vanessa more questions, they ended up showing her pictures of the article, and I'm not one to tell someone how to raise their kids, but I thought it was a bad idea at the time. Instead of her being terrified, she seemed glad that finally people knew about her dream and that she didn't make it up. Kids say strange things sometimes, but we found it odd how she said it was how she died. I told my friend it was likely her just saying she died in her dream, but she insisted that she existed before. They didn't bother doing any more research. Part of it scared them to find out if it was true and decided that she would eventually outgrow or forget about it. They're stricter with her, not giving her much television time, and don't let her play around at the computer without being supervised. It's also frustrating them that she's trying to identify herself as a boy and was trying to wear her dad's clothes that are too big for her. They don't want her to research it because they're afraid she's going to pick a random person who died in a news article and assume their identity. The nightmares still happen sometimes, but she's less afraid of them, and they also told me that eating lettuce before bed helps you sleep better, so I'll be trying that natural remedy soon. Oh, and good news and bad news about my car. The good news is nothing was wrong with the engine, but the bad news was a cat crawled in it and died. Thanks for reading. But even more thanks for the wonderful podcast.
You know, I think that there's definitely something going on with the kid knowing about something that happened thousands of miles away, and being too little to actually research things on the internet.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like she's coping with that very well, if she's trying to revert back into that person.
Yeah. That's a real interesting thing. And that's where I think, you know, I'd be very interested to hear what a counselor says about that, or a therapist says about that, to try and help them work through it. Because how would you... I mean, and here's a good question, because I know we have therapists that listen to the show. We have counselors that listen to the show. I'd be really curious. How would you handle this if this person came to you with her child and shared the exact story you just heard, and then said, "Can you help my child work through this?" Mm-hmm. How do you handle that? I suppose you probably would be focusing not so much on, well, this is paranormal. That seems to be fairly a fact and doesn't necessarily pertain to the child kind of getting better. It's more so accepting what this child's reality is.
Yeah.
And then moving forward from that point, not necessarily saying bullshit or that's impossible or any of that. You just kind of, this is their reality. How do we help them
and
deal?
You know, and I think a counselor would be a good idea because, too, if it's a situation where the child's just starting to identify more as a boy, that's a whole different thing. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
And, that's not really an issue. What I'm concerned about is this child wanting to revert back into somebody who's dead.
Yeah, that and there's nothing to do with the gender identity or anything like that.
No.
I'm talking more so exactly what you said, trying to become the dead person.
Yeah.
Or picking, and I see what they're saying of, you know, picking the dead person and thinking that that's them, because a kid could do that.
Sure.
You know, it'd be, you know, interesting, you know, to see what happens as they grow up, if this is something where they don't necessarily have memories of it later, or goes like, I don't remember doing that or going through or what exactly.
Right.
What exactly happens? Because it seems a lot of times we have stories of kids who will have a past life experience, very vividly recounting it, passing along the information, and then shortly thereafter, no memory of ever talking about it whatsoever.
Yeah.
So keep us posted. But I would be curious what a counselor would say about that. If somebody wants to write in and share what their perspective on that would be, that would be great. We could talk about it on a future episode of the show. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Amina writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm Amina from the UK. Love your podcast. Listen to it whenever I get the chance. I think what you guys do is great. You provide a therapeutic platform for people who've experienced things and most other people don't understand. I would like to share a paranormal story with you. One night I was fast asleep and then woke up to go to the toilet about 3:15 a.m. Good night vision, so I don't bother to turn the lights on to navigate my way to the toilet from my bedroom. I thought I could see clearly enough in the dark. Anyway, I got out of bed, slowly walked to the door of my bedroom. As I just stepped out into the corridor, which led to the toilet, I saw a bright white flashing light. It was similar to lightning and similar to old school camera flashes, but it was a great size of bright white flashing light. I do not suffer from any health conditions which may affect my vision or anything else. At first, I couldn't believe what I saw. I rubbed my eyes and then stood there for a moment like a deer in the headlights. A few moments went by, the light still flashing. I tried to rationalize what I saw. I looked to any normal explainable sources of light. I looked back to the toilet door in the corridor that had a window, but no light from there. I looked to the ceiling, the walls, other windows, nothing but darkness surrounded the flashing white light. I finally walked closer to the light, walking along the corridor, hoping to see if I could check the downstairs landing midway of the corridor, which sometimes had a nightlight plugged in, trying to rationalize that perhaps the bright white light came from the nightlight downstairs. I had to turn my neck and head 45 degrees around to see the downstairs landing. The nightlight was not plugged in. It was pitch black downstairs. I was so puzzled. I thought I investigated all possible sources of light. There are no real sources, so where is the flashing white light coming from? As I turned my head back to view the light again, it disappeared. I was a little scared at this point, but decided to resume going to the toilet, so I did. It was summer, and the toilet window was open. My cat was sitting on the outside of the toilet window. She seemed calm. This reassured me, as my cat is what Jenny describes as sensitive. If anything evil was there, my cat would have been scared. She was calm and content. I then returned to my bed to try and sleep. My cat jumped through my bedroom window, which was also open. My cat can sense when I'm sad or scared and usually sits on my lap, more so during such times. Well, this time she sat on my legs when I was in bed, scared, trying to process what happened. I didn't sleep for the rest of the night. On following nights, I kept a torch by my bedside, refusing to walk to the toilet in the dark again. Since then, I have not seen the bright white flashing light again. Research into this, I came up with guardian angels. Tony and Jenny, what do you think? And torch, by the way, means flashlight.
Right.
She's not like having a villager torch to roam the neighborhood.
Grab your torches and pitchforks.
Exactly. I'd put a pitchfork on one side and a torch on the other.
No. And my question is, okay, did she say if this was flashing inside or outside?
I don't believe she said.
Okay. Because, you know, my first thought was that's one big orb. But
yeah,
but I don't think it's an orb. I don't really know what to call it.
I mean, it would be, I would say, along those lines, but it is so dramatic. I don't know. We have had stories of people seeing orbs and things of that nature without a camera. I guess maybe not one quite this large.
No.
But I would put it in that category, I think. And I don't know if it is that or what it is. Mm-hmm. But if I were to pick, you know, somewhere to place this on the ghost family tree, at least that's where I'd be hanging it for right now.
Over with the paranormal light stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Thank you for sharing the experience with us. Maybe over the years we'll have other stories that can tie into this one and we can make some more sense of it. Mylene writes in, "Hi, I don't have a big story to tell. It's more like multiple events that happened to me that I still cannot really explain. First time that I experienced a paranormal event was maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I've always believed in ghosts, but I had never experienced anything until that day. Like I said, it was maybe 4 years ago when I was around 19 years old. My parents have an RV which they install on a land they rent in a wooded area every year. My uncle also has trailers there, and every beginning of September, my parents, 2 sisters, and I go there for a weekend. A bit like camping, but in an RV. My parents sleep in the front of the trailer, while us 3 girls have a room in the back. I sleep on the top bunk bed on one side of the room, while my 2 sisters sleep in another bunk bed opposite mine." There we go. Almost missed it.
Yeah.
I was thinking RV, and then I just didn't connect bunk bed. One night, I woke up in the middle of the night, and as I turned around, to face the other side bunks, I saw a girl's figure like a shadow looking at me. I didn't see any faces. It was just a girl's black figure. I remember just closing my eyes for a second, and when I reopened, the figure was gone, as if it was just some coat on a hanger. The figure was so clear that I'm sure of what I saw. The coat was clearly Coates, not even in the same shape as a girl was. I never told anyone about what I saw until last year. Thing is, I wasn't scared at all. I didn't feel like I was in danger or anything, and I'm 100% sure that I saw a girl's shadow looking at me that night. The next 3 stories happened in the apartment that I live in right now. At the moment, I lived alone, but at the time of the events, I was living with a friend, and pretty much my boyfriend was always there. I have 2 cats, and my roommate has one as well. Let's just say that there was a lot going on. The first event happened when I was home alone. I was in my room watching TV. My bedroom door was almost fully closed, but not entirely. At some point, I heard some little scratching on my door, like if one of the cats was trying to come in. So I called them. The door opened, as if the cat pushed it harder, but no cat was there. I thought maybe the wind made the door open. It was summer, after all, and all the windows were open. But it was kind of odd that the door did open right when I called the cats. That was the first weird event in the apartment. Second event for me, was one of the creepiest. It was the same summer as the story before. We just moved in that summer. My boyfriend and I were in the bathroom. It was around 7 p.m. at the time. My roommate was working until 5 or 6 every night. So he was home around 7 p.m. As my boyfriend and I were talking, we heard the front door open and close. We heard the lock and what resembled the sound of someone taking off their shoes. And we both of us stopped talking, and my boyfriend saying, "Ah, your roommate is back." As I responded, then I heard it too. Then we just kept talking. We were expecting him to come back, so it wasn't weird hearing all that noise. Maybe 2 minutes later or so, I was done with my night routine, so I got out of the bathroom expecting to see my roommate, but no one was there. The front door was still locked, and nothing had moved. I was a little bit confused, so I got back in the bathroom and told my boyfriend that there was no one in the apartment, that I was scared and didn't want to be by myself. So we both got out and looked around. I walked in the living room, realized that the patio door was slightly open. I live on the 3rd floor, so no one can really open that door from the outside, and the front door was still locked. I texted my roommate to ask him if he came back just to pick something up in the apartment and left immediately after, but he swore to me that he did not. To this day, I still don't know what or who opened that front door or that patio door, but I was really creeped out and did not sleep very well that night. I still think about it to this day. The fact that we both heard it and that the noises were so clear, so casual, that it makes it hard to believe that an intruder would make such a noisy entrance. The last story that took place in the apartment is actually from my roommate. He's a joker, so I don't know if it is true, but thought I'd include it anyway. Again, around the same time as the previous events, he told me that one time he was about to go to bed, shut the lights off, put down his glasses, then turned around to face his bed and saw right in front of him what looked like a girl's figure. He froze for a minute, then he instinctively just passes his hand through that shadow. On that moment, the shadow disappeared. I thought he's probably just messing around with me, but his story reminded me of that girl's figure that I saw once in my family camping area, and the idea that he seems to have seen the same figure as I did 4 years earlier really creeped me out. So these are my stories for you. Hope it makes sense. English is not my first language. Thank you for your work. I love your good spooky stories. Your show helps me get through the day at work. Have a great day.
I wonder if it's the same shadow girl that's responsible for all this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that maybe somehow they stumble upon her when they were out camping, and then she's just kind of stuck around.
It's kind of keeps lurking and hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing her own thing. I don't know. I could see that very much being the case. I mean, it's interesting where, or I wonder if it's just multiple things too.
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhat residual, somewhat not. When you have a residual haunting and you have, you know, audible sounds of like, you know, shoes being taken off and such, are those sounds just literally coming out of nowhere?
I don't know. I always wondered if maybe they were only being projected into your mind.
Like only you can hear it because you're sensitive?
You or mm-hmm. you know, in this case, both of them.
Sure.
Both she and her boyfriend heard it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm confused on that one. I think there could be possible multiple things going on. Could be the one. I don't know. I don't know what direction that all came from. Thanks for writing in and sharing the experiences with us here at the show. Our next letter from Rochelle says, "Hi, I'm writing in from the UK. My ghost story seems a little strange as it happened in a usual place for such a thing to happen. I was about 9 years old and had gone on a family holiday with my parents to Lanzort. Don't know where it is. Okay. As soon as we arrived, usual things started to occur. Initially, the hotel staff told us that we weren't booked into a room, but eventually managed to find me an empty room for us to go. Number 101. The first occurrence was quite small. Things started to go missing. Cameras, jewelry, even the hotel key disappeared, which was unusual, as my dad is very meticulous about keys and money and so on. The other things were stories that my parents told me once they had gotten home. My dad was suffering from a shoulder injury, and had some trouble sleeping. So my mom and I decided to share the bedroom. My dad would be in the living area. At around 3 a.m. every night, my mom would be disturbed by the sound of dishes being washed in the kitchen. At first, she didn't mind as she thought my dad was cleaning up to help out. But one night, she got annoyed and decided to tell him to be quiet. But as she walked into the kitchen, the noise stopped, and she found my dad in a deep sleep on the sofa. At the time, my dad couldn't sleep, and so was playing. I was playing on a Game Boy in the early hours. He says he felt the room go extremely cold and heard footsteps behind him. It scared him quite a bit, so he didn't even dare to turn around. My mom and dad decided that we would all sleep together in the main room at this point. I had no idea what they were experiencing. It was on the last night that I myself experienced something. I was getting dressed in the bedroom after a shower when all of a sudden a putrid smell filled the room. Filled up the room so quickly I had to say I had never smelled anything so vile or repulsive in my life and would never wish to again. I called my mom to ask her what it was, but the smell went away almost as quickly as it entered. That night, sleeping in the living room on the floor, something disturbed me. I looked up and saw what I can only describe as a human-like form, which was brown in color. At the same time, I may have recognized it as a person, as I sat up and asked, "Who are you?" At that point, my mom promptly pushed my head back onto the pillow and told me to go to sleep. I know I saw something, but I could not say that I saw any features or clothes, just that human-like brown form. Also, my imagination wasn't affected by thoughts of ghosts or paranormal, as my parents hadn't told me anything. As well, the setting of a summer family holiday didn't exactly bring to mind ghostly thoughts. I don't know if something had happened in that particular room, and I certainly have no explanation for it. I've sometimes tried to research the hotel and the news, but never found any information. I've never experienced anything since, and although I enjoy horror movies, can't say I'm particularly sensitive to picking up on the paranormal. I'd love to hear a more expert opinion. Many thanks, Rochelle. And now, your expert, Jenny.
Well, I think sometimes they, being ghosts, mess with the check-in registry or whatever, you know, to keep track of who's supposed to go where. You know, because, of course, there wasn't a room available, and then they found it, and it happened to be this room. And we've had stories about that before, where, there wasn't even a reservation, you know, and they found out the next day they weren't even supposed to be at that hotel. It's supposed to be a different one.
Do you ever get nervous when we're at a hotel and they're like, oh, we don't see it in the system here?
No.
I have to pull it up on my phone and go, no, look, here it is.
No, because most of the time I know we're just running into people that don't know what they're doing. But I do think sometimes there's other things playing out.
Yeah. You don't fear that one of these times it's going to be, and you're in room, 666.
Do they even have a room number 666 at hotels?
Oh, I imagine if you have that many rooms and you have, you know, literally 66 rooms on one floor. I mean,
I don't know. I think they would skip it, kind of like a lot of places skip the 13th floor.
I think I'd request room 666 just to see.
Don't do that.
I want room 666 on the 13th floor. That doesn't exist, sir. It's by the floor. I want that room.
That doesn't work.
I know. Sorry, sir. That's not going to happen. There you go. I'm now going to be thinking twice about when that happens. Thanks for the story and sharing that with us. We greatly appreciate it. Our book is out, by the way, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, really wherever books are sold, you can find it. Do find it and leave us a nice review. We'd greatly appreciate that for your Halloween season listening pleasure. If you like the show, help us stay on the air, become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes of our show, new one every single week, and all sorts of other exclusive content only there at ghostpodcast.com. So check that out. That's what keeps this thing alive. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.